I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 86th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Stacey Ann Thomas Johnson, originally from Kingston, Jamaica, a city of nearly a million people on an island of almost 3 million people. She's been in Maine since 2006 and lives here with her husband and 11-year-old son. Thank you so much for coming on New Mainers Speak today, Stacey Ann.
Thank you for having me.
I kind of forgot to get her set up with a microphone. There, that should do the trick. Well, great. I bet you don't have days like this in Jamaica.
No. No, and thank God.
Yeah. So you've come from a gorgeous country known by 1.3 million foreign tourists a year for its white sands, excellent snorkeling and diving, food and music. And I wondered if you could paint a picture for us. What did it look like for you growing up there in the parts seldom seen by the tourists?
Well, it was fun. I was the only one at home still. My other sisters live with their dad. But it was really fun just to be there, the weather, the atmosphere, it's just fun. It was actually just me and my mom because my dad traveled over here. He worked on a ship here, so he came here like 9 months out of the year, so we see him for 3 months. And it was really fun just being there, going to school, having your friends, because that was my biggest thing, just having friends, you know, going to school and being around them. So that was, my thing. That son here now, he has all these friends and stuff like that. So it's similar to his, but not the weather.
Yeah, so weather's a little slightly different than Kingston, Jamaica.
Right, not the weather. But it was really good. Some places, as you know, are bad. But, where I live, thank God, wasn't like that. It was safe. You didn't have to worry about your kids. At early age of like 7, I was by myself at home because my mom had to work. And as you know, my dad wasn't there. And so it was good still, but, I still had a lot of friends around that I could go play with. And, when it get dark, you got to go in.
Yeah, and you have much more even light and dark cycles there, closer to the equator.
Yes, yes. It's really crazy here when it's almost 9 and it's still bright. It's like, hello?
Yes.
It's night, please.
And then in the winter when it's dark for hours and hours and hours before dinner.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
It's hard to adjust to over time.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then it sounds like there were a lot of dogs in your childhood.
Oh,
what was that like on the island?
It was not nice. It seemed like everywhere I lived, there was dogs. At one point, I thought my parents didn't like me. I'm like, why do they live where all these dogs are? I hate them. I lived at the end of the road, and I had to pass 90 dogs to get to my house, and I had to pass so many dogs. It's just like, so my fear for dogs is not good. So,
Are the dogs there like the dogs here, where they're like another child in the family that sleeps in the bed?
No, these dogs don't go inside.
They're just outdoor dogs.
Yeah, they're not allowed inside. We had one dog that thought that he was supposed to be inside, Lassie, and he kept coming inside.
Come home, that's
why. Yeah. He kept coming inside. I run from him, and I run on my bed, and he'd be on my bed with me. And I'm like, seriously, I thought I was getting away from him, but no. But no, dogs are outside, and I really like it that way because, like them.
They were used for protection for your family then.
Yes, most definitely.
And so every family had a dog or more?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That makes for a lot of dogs.
Yes. We had 11 at one point, and that made me, you can't imagine how I was.
That would be really stressful if you don't like dogs and you have 11 of them.
Yeah. I used to go to the gate every time I come from school. I'd have to stop at the gate and call my mom, and she had to come on the veranda for me to go into the house because I would not go in because they're jumping on the gate and because we had grill gate and it's shaking and it's making all this noise. And I'm like, my heart is in my mouth. And I'm like, come on, mom, come outside so I can come in.
Just even to pass into your own house.
Yes.
They weren't even on your side.
Well, they liked me. They were happy to see me, but I wasn't happy to see them.
Yes, too many other unfriendly dogs. Yeah, that's really quite different from here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It most definitely is.
Yeah, and has that fear of dogs stayed with you over your lifetime?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I might have passed it on to my son.
It's fun to share with family. So you have a lot of names. as Stacy Ann Thomas Johnson. Mm-hmm. But you don't have a pet name.
No, I don't. And that made me so mad. As a kid, I realized my mom has a pet name. My dad has a pet name. My sisters have a pet name. My uncles, my aunts, my cousins, everybody has a pet name, not Stacy. And I was like, this is so wrong. So I decided when I was younger, like going to high school, I was maybe 13 or 14. And I said, you know what? I want a pet name. I'm going to be Annie. So my dad used to start calling me, Annie, come get this Annie. And then my mom started calling me Annie. But then my dad came over here, came back, and then that was it. My Annie was done.
Short-lived.
Yes.
Your nickname.
Yeah,
your
but I
name.
Was happy for that little short time because I got a pet name.
Yes. What are some of the other pet names in your family?
Well, my mom is Erna. My dad is Punta. One of my sister is Toosie. One of my older sister is Dandy. And my cousin, they call him Leroy. Like one of my cousins, they call him Wheezy. So a couple of us has pet name. Even my husband has a pet name. He's Bertie. Really?
You got to get a pet name. How about your son? Does he have a pet name?
Well, I used to call him Rugrat when he was little, and he was like, oh, mommy, remember you call me Rugrat? I'm your little Rugrat.
He may not like that one forever.
No, he won't.
When you long for Jamaica in your heart, I wonder what do you miss of that place?
Well, honestly, seeing that the Christmas is coming now, that's what I miss. Honestly, Christmas is the best in Jamaica. Christmas here is not Christmas. It's just like another day. It's so dead. There's nobody out. There's no togetherness. Everybody's inside. You know, they're inside all day. You know, in Jamaica, you get up in the morning, you know, you look for your breakfast and stuff, and you might go on the road and say hi, hello. Everybody's out there. You might go back home again, and then you cook your big dinner again, eat your dinner, invite people over. Or whoever over some people eat over their house, then come over somebody else's house and then go over another house, you know. They keep, you know, and then they have music. They have the big boxes that they put up on the roadside, and there's just music all day to the next day sometimes, because the next day in Jamaica is Boxing Day, which is also a holiday as well. So for the whole 2 days, it's just partying.
Wow, like a big festival.
Yeah,
in the streets.
Yeah, and then you go out, you just have fun, and you talk, and you laugh, and you drink, who drinks, you know. So much fun. So I always want to go back to Jamaica in December, but you know, it's so expensive from Maine.
Yes. And you probably don't get a lot of scarves and mittens as gifts.
No.
And do you do Christmas trees there?
Yes, we do. We used to have one, but it's not everyone has a Christmas tree. You know, maybe now people are doing more Christmas trees, but further back, there wasn't a lot of people who had Christmas tree. I actually thought my dad might have brought ours down from here to Jamaica. I think that's how we got ours, and we just put it in a box and, you know, keep taking it out. Sorry.
And say what your dad did. I think that's really interesting. He was here in Maine while you were down in Jamaica.
Right.
He worked here in Maine.
Yeah, he used to work on a ship that went to Canada. He's been here from 1981 until 1999. He was on that ship. So he kept coming here each year for 9 months and then came down for 3 months. Really was glad when he came back because he was, you know, make us wake up early in the morning, and I didn't like that.
Had he learned about shipping, the trade of shipping in Jamaica, and then got a job here, or he came here and trained?
No, he just came here and trained. He actually started as a dishwasher until he ended up in the engine room, because he's really good at electrician and stuff like that, so he's really good at that, so he ended up in that section. But my uncle actually got him on the ship because he used to work on it, so he put him in. So that's how he got. So that's how most of our family got on the ship, because a couple of them were on it.
Right, a little family business.
Yes. Help one another out, you know.
I love that. What you miss about Jamaica is the fun.
Yes.
I think it's kind of known for its fun.
Yes, yes. It honestly is. You land on, when I land in Jamaica, it's like you just feel different. You feel this love. You feel like love. You feel happiness. You feel joy. You just want to stay there. When I realize my time is up, like I even 3 days before I'm to leave, I'm like, oh, I got to go home. I don't want to go back. So sad.
What brings the love? What creates
it's
that
just,
sensation?
The people, they're just different. You're just welcoming. They're just happy. Even I have patients that go to Jamaica, and they said, they were so fun. They were so happy. They were so welcoming. They just make you feel so good, like you're a part of them. And it's just, that's just it. We just love to have fun. We just like people around. We like groups. You know, you never normally see somebody by themselves.
Yes, that's very different.
Yeah, you always see them together. They're talking, they're laughing. You know, there's so much. It's just so much fun.
So 2.5 million Jamaicans have left the island and have gone to live elsewhere, part of the Jamaican diaspora, right? And 20,000 Jamaicans moved to the United States every year. And I wonder what brought you to Maine in 2006?
Well, my dad, my parents actually, they filed for me. So that's how I'm here. So me and my son came here in 2006. So that's how we got here. By file for they, you know, my dad on the other, his sister filed for him in the first place for him to get to stay here after being on the ship for so many years. That's how he came off because he became a permanent resident.
So he had a work permit and then he became a
permanent
a green
resident.
Card
yeah, because his sister filed for him. So my mom and he both came up. So then after they came up, they filed for me. So, you know, it takes a while for you to get here. So they filed for me and that's how we got here, me and my son.
Lovely. That must have been surprising.
Well, no, not really. I know they would have to get me. If not, you know, I'll keep butts. I'm just kidding.
So when you first got here, what were your first impressions like? This sure isn't Jamaica. I mean, it is. We have islands.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same.
No. My first impression when I got here was, whoa, it's cold. Because I landed in Providence, in Rhode Island, because we didn't know the airports and stuff. So I booked the ticket. Crazy me. So when I got here, I was like, oh my God, it's so cold. So we kept driving and I kept looking and I saw snow, the white stuff on the ground. And I was like, oh my God, it's so cold and so cold. And then when we got here, you know, it was nice. I like Maine because it's quiet. It's not built up. It's not crazy, you know. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, because you looked at, when you watch a TV and you see like New York and places like that and you saw all these crowds and you're like, God, Lord, am I going to even be able to walk and move, you know? So when I saw Maine, I was like, yeah, you know, it's good, quiet.
A lot more of an island feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Here in the little corner of the country.
Exactly.
So major industries in Jamaica include bauxite or aluminum production, agriculture, tech industries and tourism. And you had a wide variety of jobs there, bank teller, garage receptionist, mm-hmm. and innovating computer technology there, and hotel work. So you've always worked,
mm-hmm.
and you've always worked mm-hmm. here too. What kind of work have you done in Maine?
When I just got here, I got a job as a telemarketer. And I worked there only for 2 weeks because... For two reasons why I worked there for 2 weeks. My son was 2 when we got here. So the daycare was $175 per week. And I got $350 at the end of that first 2 weeks. That only paid for my son daycare. And the other thing was that I just got here. So my Jamaican was very high. So I used to, you know, you have to talk on the phone. So people couldn't understand me. So they said, you know, it's not working because the language and they can't understand. Some people are buying the stuff, but they're saying they're just buying it because my accent is sweet.
That's good.
But I'm like, I thought that was a good thing, you know?
Right. Usually accents are popular. Right. Jamaican accents especially.
But they said no. So that's two of the reasons why I left. The money was not enough either, and, you know, the accent too. And then after that, I got a job at a hotel as a server. And that was really super and that was really awesome. But sometimes I used to hide my son behind the curtain because I had no one to keep him.
Oh, that's really stressful.
I know. Cause so I had to bring him to work with me. And then, you know, that didn't work out again. I was there for almost 3 years. 2 years? 2 years and something I was there for. And then, you know, it didn't work out. So I had to leave that, and then I got a job at another hotel, but that was at the front desk, and I did that one until this, from 2008 until this year, March, I stopped that one because it was just too much work now. So while I was at that hotel, I got another job working at another business place doing blood draw, so I do a phlebotomist, which I love to death. And then after that one, which was for 3 years, I was at that job for 3 years as well. And I left that one to get my new job as a medical assistant, which I also love because you notice all my jobs are people with people.
Yes.
They're not jobs that you're behind a desk and not being with somebody. I have to have interaction.
You're bringing the Jamaican joy.
Yeah. So I have, and I love this job because it's you have to deal with people, you help people. And I also get to draw blood, which you know I love. So I love drawing blood. So it is awesome. So now I'm medical assistant. After this, now, you know, I want to do more.
And a phlebotomist. What made you think maybe you'd like to do phlebotomy?
Well, actually, I never thought of it. I came here and I realized that, you know, you have to have some education. You have to do something because I can't work at a hotel at the front desk forever. That doesn't pay anything. $300 is nothing. You have a rent and bills to pay. That can't pay nothing. So I was here and I was like, I need to go to school. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What do I want to do? So I researched and I figured out which industry is growing. So I realized that to go in the medical field is great to go in it, but I wanted to do the nursing right off, and it was like so much of a long wait, and I didn't want to wait because if you wait, then you know you might change your mind and might never get in. So I was like, I need to do something now. So I looked and I saw that they were advertising the medical assistants, you know. So I was like, okay, let me do this. And that's how I got in there. And it's only when I finished my course, because even in the school, they taught you to do the blood draw. And I was like, I never got blood once. Never. We had 40 sticks and I never got blood once. Wow. In school. Never. And I was like, just doing it to get my scores and get out. But when I went on my externship, oh my goodness, I fell in love with it. It was awesome. I started feeling veins and I'm like, what? You know, they're there. So, you know, and that's how I fell in love with phlebotomy. So all I talked about in my externship class was blood draw. I didn't even care about putting the patient in the room, getting their temperature, their blood pressure, nothing.
I love that it didn't come naturally, but that it still found...
Yeah. And I love it. And I know I'm good at it. So that makes it even better. So it's awesome.
And I always want someone to draw my blood who loves it and is good
at it. Exactly.
Wonderful.
Exactly. And I know how to calm you. There's a lot of patients that I have that are very scared of needles. Yes. And I'm great at distracting.
Maybe you bring your understanding of the fear of dogs.
I know. I should.
Yeah. You understand fear.
Wow. That's true.
If you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak, and I'm Kate Manahan. Today, my guest is Stacey Ann Thomas-Johnson, originally from Kingston, Jamaica. She's lived and worked in Maine for nearly 10 years now. Sometimes, when people live in a very different environment from where they grew up, they notice that the humor is different from place to place. And I wonder if that's been the case for you, how you do that.
That is so true. I am a jovial person. I like to make people happy. I don't like sad people around me. And I tend to say stuff sometimes. And, you know, a Jamaican would get it. A Caribbean person would get it. Even maybe the African people would get it because they kind of have a similar thing to us. But sometimes the Americans, they don't get it. They're like, huh? But after they get to know me, they realize, oh, I know what you're saying now. I know what you're joking around. So it's really different. It's really so weird to know that it's really so different with the communication, you know?
Yes.
But they get me afterwards.
We're serious, huh?
Yeah.
But if we know you're teasing, we can kind
of... Yeah, it's hard to get a crack out of you.
Well, we need you to loosen us up a little. So what is it like for you being a Black woman in Maine? And I wonder if you've had experiences with racism as a Jamaican living in Maine.
I certainly do. I had several times, and I know several people who also have. I've seen it at my jobs, not necessarily my coworkers, but the people that come in. I have been at spots where there'll be two of us there, me, a Jamaican and American, and they will come in, and I am the more experienced person there, and they don't want me to, like, for blood work, to draw their blood. They don't want me to do it because they think that I can't do it. Like, oh, no, she can. Or if I have to register them in, it's like they're giving me attitude to register them in because they think that I don't know how to use a computer, you know? So sometimes you see stuff like that and it really gets you mad, but you can't, and I just can't. I can't. The natural thing inside me is going to take over. So even if I'm getting mad and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do the worst thing to you right now. The when I go into the situation, the right thing takes over. I relax and then I do my job as I'm supposed to do my job. Like you're another person, you know. But a lot of times I see that. Even I go into stores and they give you a different attitude and they'll give somebody else, like, I'll be in line and somebody just come up and they just take that person. And I'm like, seriously? I was here. You know, like, you didn't see me? I'm like...
You're standing right there.
Yeah.
That's
so they
hurt.
Yeah, they do it all the time. But then, you know, you can't let them get you down because, you know, they're ignorant. That's why they do that.
And you rise above it with your professional attitude.
Yes.
But that's got to be tricky.
It is. It's here. We know it's here. We've seen it several times. But, you know, you just have to just ignore them and just say, you know, one day, hopefully you'll realize that, you know, we're all the same.
Yeah.
You know.
Hopefully. It seems like something you figured out on the islands.
Yeah. We know that. And there's so we can't treat everyone the same way. So because somebody was mean to me, I can't, the next person that come in, I'm going to be mean to them because that person was mean to me. I have to ignore you and just say that it's your bad fault, you know. It's too sad that you don't know what is happening. And it's a new world. Grow up.
Yeah. Get with the program.
Yes, get with the program, please. You know, it's really frustrating, but, you know, we don't let it frustrate you.
Yeah.
No. I won't let you take my spirit down. No.
Well, and I think that brings more awareness sometimes to people when they realize they weren't kind, but you could rise above it.
Exactly.
That gives you the power.
Exactly. And it makes them, sometimes I think it makes them feel bad or mad or whatever that they want to feel. Too bad for you still. But, you know, that I'm not going to be saddened by you, by your attitude just a while ago. Like, you're trying to make me say things and do stuff. No, I won't.
You exercise the self-control.
Yeah.
They were missing.
Yeah, so too bad for you. You didn't get to get all this bundle of joy that I have.
That's right. There you go. So you became a U.S. citizen in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what that experience was like for you.
Well, you know, there's so many people that have been here for years and I've not gotten it. I feel a great pleasure in getting it. It's like getting my associate's degree in medical assistant. It's like, another accomplishment that I did. It's for me, and it's not only for me, it's for me and my son, and also for my husband, because getting that made him even get here earlier. So it's a accomplishment for my whole family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it makes you feel so good just to know that, you know, that you had it. You know, you did it, you went the all the miles, you paid your money, you did all you needed to do, and you get it, you know, and now they can't send me home.
Well, I think that's a really important point, Stacey Ann, and I don't know that everybody understands that, but mm-hmm. if you have a green card mm-hmm. and you're a long-term resident, mm-hmm. If you get into any trouble, mm-hmm. you can lose that status.
They better know that.
So how much does it cost to become a citizen?
Oh, my goodness, $600.
Which is a lot.
Yes.
Do you think that amount keeps people from doing it?
You know, honestly, I don't think it's totally. It might be one of the reasons, but I think some of the people, they can. You know, some people need people to help them, and they don't have that help, or they don't know what to do. I think that's some of the things. Like, you know, if you want something, you should go out and get it, or ask questions, or ask stuff to get it. And I think that's the thing with some people. They either don't know where to get the information from, and they don't ask no question, and without asking, you won't know. And it involves studying. And a lot of people have crazy schedules. But what I got was the tape, the CD, and I put it in my car, and that was my music every day.
Ah, and they gave you the answers to the citizenship test questions?
Yeah, they give you 100 questions, and it gives you the question and give you the answer. And then there's another part of it that just give you the question, and you answer it. So it helps you prepare you for it. But I did more than that. I went online, and I did the tests online, and I read the book. So I did all these questions and all this time, and I really didn't need to do all that work because they asked me like six easy little things.
Like what? Can you tell us?
What's the color of the flag? Who? What's the party that is in? Or who is the president? I'm like, seriously, I thought you were going to ask me like who was the president when this World War II, and who was who did Civil Rights Act, or, you know? So
sure. Yeah. Wow. So it was easier than you expected.
Yeah.
But now you really know everything.
I know.
I sometimes think new people who are studying for this end up knowing more U.S. history than some of our born-in citizens.
It's true. I think it should be a test. This should be one of the tests at school.
Yes, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That everyone should take the citizenship exam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You had told me earlier that you love learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder where that passion came for you.
Well, you know, I honestly not sure, but, you know, normally you go somewhere and you don't want to be the one that's left out and be like, so what are you doing? What are we going to do now? You know, you want to have at least an idea of what's going to happen. So I always try to make sure, like, if I go somewhere in a new situation or something, I'm like looking and I'm learning, I'm trying to figure out what you're doing. I'm like, oh, I know that. All right. So when you get to that point, I already got that, you know, so you try to make sure that you kind of step ahead or right close to them, because you don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be the one everybody's looking around and waiting on and I'm like, oh, come on, catch up, girl, you know? So I always wanted to, always wanted to be on top. And I think my son's got it too, because, you know, I buy a new thing and I'm like, oh, what do I do? And he's like, I know.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
He never even see the package before. So I guess, you know, it's in essence, it's kind of something like that. You're trying to figure out something before you even know what it is,
you
know?
Were your parents like that too?
Well, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
You just have an innate desire to learn?
Yeah, I don't think so. I never seen it still, but maybe they did. But, you know, because I was younger and I wasn't really penetrating them, you know, what they're doing. So I'm not sure. But, no. But I know my dad, when he was smaller, they said he used to pull everything up and try to figure it out and figure out why this run like this and why this move like this. So maybe I got it from him.
Yeah, maybe you did. Or maybe farther back. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe it was my grandma, my grandfather, one of them.
You had told me earlier when we were visiting that your chances of going to college in Jamaica are just really, really small. You have to have perfect grades and tons of money and connections. Mm-hmm. And then when you come out, there sometimes aren't jobs for you anyway.
Most definitely.
So what are your hopes and dreams around your career and your life in Maine?
Well, I actually want to go off to do the nursing next because, as I said, I love drawing blood. I love giving shots. Now my next thing is to do IVs, and I really want to do that. So my next thing is to go do the nursing. I also, you know, some distance down the line, would like to open a Jamaican restaurant as well and have our Jamaican food and stuff for other people as well. In the restaurant. So that's one of my things that I'm trying to work on right now. But hopefully, you know, the nursing will come, you know. Even though I might have my restaurant, I still want to go out and help because I really love to work. You know, I don't like staying home. I don't know how some people stay home all day, all 7 days a week. I don't know how they do it. Be home 2 or 3 days, I'm ready to go back.
You bring your social energy to work.
Yeah.
I love that. Stacey Ann, you are so warm and bright and joyful. I wish that you have all the best of luck with your life and your career and your family here in Maine.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure getting to visit with you this week. I really appreciate you coming in and being on the show today. And thank you for listening. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more of the local buzz at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Stacey Ann Thomas-Johnson. We will close today's program with a song she's chosen for us. Stacey Ann, would you introduce this song to our listeners and share what made you pick this particular song?
This is from one of our legend, Bob Marley. It says Smile Jamaica. That's the title. And, you know, in Jamaica, it's all about fun and laughter, and, you know, and I just feel like Jamaica is a big smile. You know, it does look at it. Look at how it's shaped. It does look like some lips. Maybe it's just smiling.
It was born to smile.
It was born to smile. So, yes, here we go. We're going to smile Jamaica.
With Bob Marley. Thank you.
Redeem wise, double wise, and not the wise. Can't criticize our smile.
In Jamaica,
you're gonna.